الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وقد قال تبارك وتعالى ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers in Islam, in one of the famous verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that everything in the skies and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have to expose anything, or if you have to hide anything, Allah has full knowledge of it. When this verse was revealed, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu became very worried that now we are going to be taken to task and we are going to be questioned about the thoughts that are running through our minds. The feelings that are going through our minds, we are going to be questioned about it. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu were very worried, because no person can say that he is free of thoughts. Different types of thoughts go through a person's mind. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. So they were worried. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take you to task for something that is beyond your control. Now the first question, this is a problem that everyone goes through. Different thoughts are going through our minds. Are we answerable for those thoughts? Not answerable for those thoughts. So there are several questions that we need to ask. First question we need to ask is that, is it wrong to have thoughts going through your mind? When we look into the Quran Sharif, the Ahadith, and the incidents of the pious, in one ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and the verse that I recited in the beginning, that وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, Allah takes a qasam, Allah takes an oath on the soul, and the one who had created the soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, Allah Ta'ala says, we inspired the soul with good and with bad. When a person wants to do anything, there are two voices that he hears in his head. One telling him to do it, one telling him not to do it. So this is a natural thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in each and every person's mind. In one hadith, a group of sahaba radiallahu anhum came. They came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, Inna wajadna fi anfusina nasta'zimu an natakallama. That we find certain thoughts going through our minds, but they are such bad thoughts that we cannot even talk about it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, أَوَوَجَدْتُمُوهُ Are these type of thoughts going to your mind? And you are actually feeling hard to even talk about it? They said, Naam. Yes. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that that is a sign of Iman. What is a sign of Iman? Muhaddithin mentioned that that bad thought going through your mind and you feeling hurt about it. You feeling hurt about it, that is a sign that you got Iman. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, we heard his name many times. He was a very great saint. His brother was also a very great saint. His mother was even an even pious, more pious woman. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, when he used to make imamat and he should lead the salah, his brother should not read salah behind him. So the mother asked, why aren't you performing salah behind him? So he replied, don't you know what he's thinking about when he's performing salah? When he's performing salah, he's thinking about this masla and he's thinking about that masla. Obviously, he was involved in kitabs, he was involved in dini knowledge, teaching, all those things he was involved in. So he's thinking about all these things. His mind is not towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the mother said that he's better than you. She was a very pious woman herself. She understood. So she said, he's better than you. That those thoughts are going through his mind, but he's not paying attention to those thoughts. He's performing his salah. But you're performing salah, but you're thinking what he's thinking. So your mind is also not towards Allah. You are worried about what he's thinking. So your mind is also not towards Allah. So from this ayat of the Quran Sharif, from this ahadith we understand, and from this incident we understand that everyone's thoughts go to everyone's minds. Sometimes good thoughts, sometimes bad thoughts. Everyone's mind. These thoughts are going. Now the second question we need to ask is that, when should we be worried about these thoughts? When should we be worried about these thoughts? We know these thoughts are going to be there. But when should we be worried? So if you look into this hadith that I just mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the fact that you are feeling hard to talk about it, you are feeling worried, why this evil thought went to my mind? Then that is a sign of Iman. But if that evil thought is going through your mind, you're not even worried about it, you act upon it, you do what that thought is saying, and is creating doubts in your mind, you're having doubts about your deen, you're having doubts about your Iman, different doubts are created, then you should be worried. Why? Because Shaitan, he's making these doubts come into your mind, and he creates doubts in different ways. Let's look at a few examples of how he creates these doubts. One is he'll create a doubt in your Iman, in your actual belief. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, in Bukhari and Muslim, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that Shaitan will come to you. He'll try to create your doubts in your Iman. Who is Allah? Who created Allah? What was there before Allah? Different thoughts will come to your mind. Nabi Sallam said, immediately when these thoughts come, say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Amantu billahi wa rusuli. Immediately once this thought comes about your Iman. Doubting your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, immediately you say, Amantu billahi wa rusuli. I believed in Allah and I believe in all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, he will create doubts in your ibadat. In your ibadat. In one incident, there was a saint. He started his salah. Now, in a hadith, it comes that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that when a person starts his salah, then there's a special shaitan that is appointed only to distract him from his salah. And the shaitan is called Walahan. His work is to distract you. Now he started his salah. Now the shaitan came to his mind. Your wuzu is not complete. You missed out something in your wuzu. So the first time this thought came, he broke his salah and he went and he made his wuzu again. And now he He made sure he washed all the limbs, everything properly. And now he started his salah again for the second time. Now the thought started coming again. You washed your limbs, but you never washed it properly. Or you missed out, maybe you only washed it 2 times. You should have washed it 3 times. All this. So now he's addressing himself, the buzuk is addressing himself. Not loudly, but in his mind. And he said, no problem. If you never washed it properly, no problem. Just carry on with your salah. And he continued with his salah. Therefore, fuqaha mentions that when a person is making wuzu, and in between the wuzu, if doubts come into your mind, then just wash that limb. Wash that limb that the doubt is coming. But if after you finish your wuzu, and you know for sure that you made your wuzu properly, and after that wuzu doubt is coming, whether you washed it properly, then you mustn't even look at it and just continue with your salah. So these doubts are coming even in one's ibadat also. Mullah Rum rahmatullah has mentioned an incident that one person was making ibadat for many years. He was making ibadat for many years. And now the doubt came into his mind that you're making ibadat, no answer is coming from there. How you know your ibadat is accepted? What are you wasting your time even making your ibadat? Wa na'udhu billahi min dhalik. So these type of thoughts are coming into his mind. Now the thought will come, is it acceptable, not acceptable? What are you making those ibadat? So he was worried, he made tawbah, istighfar, crying everything. Why these thoughts are coming? And he went to sleep. He sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. And Nabi sallam is telling him that when you got an opportunity to read salah for the second time, that it was a sign that your first salah was accepted. When you got an opportunity of making zikr for the second time, that it was a sign that your first zikr was accepted. If Allah did not accept you, He wouldn't have given you an opportunity to make salah again. He wouldn't have given you an opportunity of making zikr again. But that is a sign. Sometimes you get some students, you know, they come and they say, you know, my father doesn't care for me. He doesn't like me. Sometimes big students, and they say, my parents don't care for me. Normally we tell them, and we tell them that the fact that your father is seeing to all your needs, he's looking after you, even though you are so big, your body, he could have told you, listen, you go and work yourself. He's seeing to all your education. He's seeing to all your needs. That is a sign. He doesn't have to come and tell you every time, I got that love for you. The fact that he's seeing to all your needs, that is a sign that he already loves you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that He's giving us so many ni'mats, He's allowing us to take His name, He's allowing us to read that salah, that is a sign that that first salah is accepted. So shaitan wants to create all these type of doubts that your ibadat is not accepted. And why are you making all that effort? Then sometime he'll come and create doubts in your mu'asharat and your dealings. One saint mentions that there was one person. He was married to a lady. Happily married. But in Shariat, strict parda is very, very important. Parda and hijab is very, very important. And this person had to make parda and hijab from his sister-in-law also. Normally with family members, we fall short in this matter. And it so happened that now, he wasn't making parda with his sister-in-law. And now his heart got inclined towards the sister-in-law now. And we know you're not allowed to get married to two sisters at the same time. Sharia tells us that. But now he's thinking how he can make a plan. And shaitan is looking for opportunities. He looks for people who want to disobey Allah. He was looking for those opportunities and now he creates different doubts in the person's mind. They do this, make this plan, make that plan. In the end, he actually went and he murdered his wife just to be with his sister-in-law. Now these are the type of doubts that are created in the mind. The shaitan comes. He wants you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants you to go against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he'll even come in your road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you want to take the road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan comes even more. You want to come, you want to change your life.
You want to come more closer to the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you want to come more closer to sharia, then shaitan comes to your mind. Hakim Tirmidhi, rahimullah, was a very great saint, he was very, very handsome also. Once, in his old age, a thought came to him about his young days. When he was young, a lady got attracted to him. He was very pious. A lady got attracted to him. And she started stalking him. And on one occasion, she got the opportunity of cornering him in one garden. And she told him, fulfill my desires. But at that time, the fear of Allah gripped him. And he started running. He says there was a high wall. But when a person is determined to do something, Allah will make a way for him. He says, I don't know how I scaled the wall also. But I got saved. Allah protected me. But now in his old age, his thought is going through his mind. And he's thinking to himself that you were a very pious person. You could have just fulfilled her desires that once. And you could have made tawbah after that. You could have fulfilled her desires once. And you could have made tawbah after that. Now this is happening after so many years when he became such a great person. His thoughts are going to his mind. Why he started making istighfar, tawbah, crying, and he went to sleep. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's worried also, he's thinking to himself that all these years of ibadah, it looked like all that ibadah has gone to waste. Why these thoughts are coming? He goes to sleep, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes to his, in his dream and tells him that don't worry, all your ibadah are all accepted in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because that time, when you were young, that time was more closer to my time. The barakat and the blessings were more. And now as you're going away from my time, the blessings of nubuwat are getting weaker and weaker. Therefore now these thoughts are coming to you. But as long as you don't act on those thoughts, then there's no problem with those thoughts coming. All your ibadah is accepted. Therefore we understand that these thoughts are something that they're definitely going to come. They're definitely going to come. But now the main question is, can we control what thoughts come to us? Can we control what thoughts come to us? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that the thoughts are definitely going to come, but you can control the thoughts. Allah is saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That person is successful who purifies his soul. He purifies his soul. And that person who does not purify his soul, then he has corrupted his mind. He has corrupted his nafs. So when that islah will take place of that nafs, now the voice in your head, there's two voices as we mentioned in the beginning. One will tell you to do something, tell you not to do something, but the voice that is telling you to do something will become stronger. That is why one buzuk mentioned. Ke wo awaz jo apne dimag mein hai, wo ek mehman jaisi hai. It is like a visitor, that voice that is telling you to do good. It's like a visitor. Agar aap uski ikram nahi karenge, to phir nahi aayenge. And if you do not honor that guest that is telling you to do good, then he won't come anymore. But when a person is making that islah, he sits in the company of pious people. He tries his level best to sit in those places where there's no fitna and there's no distractions taking a person away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He stays away from such places. Yes, when a person has to go to work, he has to go to work. But besides that, when there's no need, and there's no urgent need for a person to go to those places where there are fitna, then a person stays away from those places, then that islah of that nafs will take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us one way, that way a person can control that only good thoughts are coming into his mind. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. In another ayat Allah says, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That when these evil thoughts are coming to you, then seek protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali says that shaitan is like a dog who has been chased by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the house. And he's standing at the doorway, stopping other people also from coming to Allah. Now if we want to come and see the master, and there's a dog that is standing in front, they're stopping us. One way is that we can start fighting with the dog. We may never enter the house. And the other is that we call the master, and we tell him to control the dog. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the master here. And shaitan is like the dog. And we have to seek protection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of fighting with shaitan. Come to the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr takes many forms. But one zikr that is mentioned in Quran, Allah in infinite mercy has given us this gift. And that is the gift of salah. Is the greatest zikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the salah is such a gift. From the time we start, the salah is protecting us from shaitan. From the morning, the salah is protecting us from the whisperings of shaitan. How? In one riwayat, in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person, when he sleeps, there are three knots on his nape. There are three knots. That is making him feel lethargic and lazy. He just doesn't want to do good. But when a person wakes up in the morning, he reads the dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana, ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. One knot opens up. And then when he goes and he makes wuzu, the second knot opens up. And then when he goes for his fajr salah, now the third knot opens up. Wa asbaha nashitan. Now he has woken up in our words, as we say, he is fresh. He is fresh. What do you mean by fresh? Not that morning jog that we are taking or that morning exercise that we are taking, now he's saying we are feeling fresh. Now he's feeling fresh in which way? Now he wants to please Allah. He wants to fulfill the commands of Allah. His heart is inclined towards good now. Now he goes for the Fajr Salah, he comes back, now he's feeling fresh. Then he goes to his work. When he's leaving the house, he's reading Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The masnoon duas that we learn of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on different occasions is also the best zikr also. The best zikr. Learn the different duas of the different occasions. Here a person is coming out from the house. Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Here also he is protected from shaitan. Watanahha anhu shaitan. Shaitan runs away from such a person. Then when a person is going to work, he's getting very busy in his work. He's getting engrossed in the dunya now, he's forgetting Allah. Immediately when he's about to go completely away, the Zuhr Azan goes. Now Allah is taking him away, now he's bringing him back to the masjid, so that shaitan doesn't overpower him. Shaitan doesn't want him to come to the masjid, but he comes. Whenever the Azan is mentioned, in the riwayat of Tirmizi, shaitan is running away. Fa. Now he comes to the masjid. After that he goes back to the shop. Now towards the end of the day, he's about to count his takings, whatever he made for the day. He's ready to rest and go home. At that time the azan is going for the asr. Again he comes. He's remembering Allah. He's breaking that nafs, he's breaking that shaitan. Whatever shaitan is stopping him now, no, he's going against it. And then when he goes home, he's having his supper, he's about to settle down. It depends on the season. And then after that, Maghrib Salah comes. And then when he wants to sit down after the Maghrib Salah, whether he wants to watch that haram television, or he wants to read his newspaper, everything that is distracting for him from Allah, now the Isha Azan goes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an infinite mercy, has given us this salah. This is only one way of zikr. Then you got tilawat of Quran, and so many other things. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Quran Sharif tells us, if you want to save yourself from doubts, then these are the things, go to the zikr of Allah. And I will end off, well, just one note, just for something for us to think. Let's try it also. But if a person is going for his salah, half an hour before his salah, he reads some Quran Sharif. He reads some Quran Sharif, he makes some ta'aleem, reads some ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then go for the salah. And see what is going through his mind when he's reading salah. And another person, Allah forbid, we shouldn't try this. That a person, he just before the salah, he's watching television. He's watching some filth. He's reading some filth. He's reading about something else. And tell that person to start the namaz. Is he going to think of Allah in the salah? He's not going to think of Allah. He's going to think about everything else besides Allah. So therefore, what the good thoughts and bad thoughts are definitely going to go through our mind. But we can control what is going through our mind, the good thoughts. If we do those things, that will remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the good thoughts will go to our mind. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.